This is Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, a podcast and radio program presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. Most any contemporary musical style can trace its roots back to the blues. Time Signatures explores the blues and its musical connections with captivating interviews, lively discussions, and news from the world of the blues.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up and down these Michigan roads, yeah.
And now, here he is, your host, Jim Irvin.
Baby, I'm home.
Thank you so much, Parker, and welcome to Time Signatures. I'm your host, Jim Irvin, and I'm pleased to be able to introduce some of you to a young lady, barely 17 years of age, but if you've heard her on stage, you'd think she's been doing this for well over 20 years or more. She's already shared the stage with some of the biggest names in music. She's played venues such as the Ryman Theater and many others, and she plays guitar and is a Hohner-endorsed harmonica player. I got to meet this young lady not that long ago during the Women in Blues Showcase held in the iconic Token Lounge in Westland, Michigan. And I'm telling you, she's the real deal. Kiersey Jolie, I'm pleased to have you here. Welcome to Time Signatures. How are you?
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here tonight.
Well, it is an honor to have you. And normally what I do as an icebreaker is I start off by asking most of my guests what their earliest memories of music are for them. So let's start with that.
Well, I mean, I'd say my earliest memories of music is just getting a piano for Christmas when I was about 3 years old. I've been singing my whole life, but like when I got my piano at three, I was like so excited when I ran up the stairs and I was like, oh, there it is.
You got a piano at 3 years old. How long did it take you to start picking some tunes out?
Not long. I had a great piano teacher for a little bit, and she was really great, and I played at our church that we used to go to back in Missouri, and I did a few recitals and everything, so it didn't take too long. I feel like God has always given me this gift for music and a love for it, too.
Sure. Yeah. Now, how old were you when you picked up the guitar and the harmonica, and which came first?
Harmonica came first. I got my first set of harmonicas when I was 6 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I had gotten it as a Christmas gift from Santa, and I honestly had no clue what they were. And I asked my mom, I was like, what is it? And she's like, oh, it's a harmonica. You blow or draw air to make music. And I had tried it, and I fell hook, line, and sinker for it. Like, I was just hooked from that moment, and I loved playing, and I would just spend hours upon hours every day just playing it, whether it was good or not. And
yeah.
I think my sister would have some words to say about if it was good or not. But I then soon after, I was around 11, it was after the time we moved to Tennessee, I had gotten my first guitar. I had actually previously started on ukulele. My harmonica teacher, Sandy Weltman, had gotten me one for my birthday.
Okay.
And I had started to combine the two and just kind of play it together a little bit. And then we moved to Tennessee, and I found out quickly that most venues do not play backing tracks. So I was like, well, I guess I'll start learning guitar.
Now, do you still have the ukulele? Do you still play one? I'm sorry. I pronounced it incorrectly. It's pronounced ukulele, and that's because there's a gentleman up here that is in charge of the ukulele group, and he taught me a long time ago that's how you say it. So if I say it wrong, he's gonna come over here and smack me. I know he will. But do you still have one laying around that you pick on once in a while?
I do. I still have it around. I don't pick on it as much, but okay. I do play with it every now and then, and I've still got this little like a chord book for it that I look at every now and then. So
I actually have one sitting on the dining room table that I really want to pick up, and I've been so busy doing other things with the podcast and whatnot, I haven't taken the time to do it, but it's there and it's ready, and I have a couple of books as well. But Kiersey, at what point did you come to the realization that you had to follow your musical dreams?
I mean, it was a few years after I had started harmonica, and I had been taking lessons for a couple years. I had gone to a harmonica convention I'd just been having fun with it, and it was something that I love to do. Honestly, I think it was at a point in my life where I realized that God was calling me to do something with this musical gift. I think I was at a SPA convention, the Society for Preserving and Advancing the Harmonica, and I was playing on stage and I realized how much I loved playing on stage. I loved getting to see people in the audience. I loved making a connection with them with my
Sure.
music. And that was the first time I had felt something like that while playing. So I think from that moment, I knew that I wanted to inspire people and make that connection with them all the time.
Sure. Now, how did your relationship with Honer come about?
Yeah, so the harmonica organization that I mentioned, SPA, I had been going to their conventions for a couple of years, well, a few years. And Honer was a big, they were a big sponsor of this convention, and they would have little booths at the convention every year.
Okay.
And so I would go up to their booths, I would look at their harmonicas, I would look at their harmonica cases, and I was 9 years old, and Honer had approached my parents, and I had been playing all Honer harmonicas, Special
Okay.
20s, Rockets, Golden Melodies. I had been playing pretty much all Honer harmonicas. And so they came up to my parents and they asked, "Do you think she would like to be an endorsee with Honer harmonicas?" And they had said, "Well, we can ask her." And so, we had kind of talked about it. They made a little video. It was posted on like YouTube.
Okay.
Feels like 100 years ago. But they had made a video just asking what kind of harmonicas I had played, and I was like, "Oh, I play Honer Special 20s." They were like, "Oh, which one's your favorite?" I was like, "Well, that Special 20 is probably my favorite. I really like the sound and the quality of harmonica it is." And they sent it to Honer, and they were like, "This is perfect." And so they came up and approached me, and they asked if I would like to be one of their endorsers. Honestly, I don't think I knew what that exactly meant at that time because I was 9 years old, but I was
Yeah.
so excited. And I loved their harmonicas. I still love their harmonicas. They keep making great improvements all the time with their brand and everything. And so I said yes, and I'm so glad I did because it has been so amazing to be one of their endorsers and to be able to promote them. And to be able to play their harmonicas as well, because I truly do love the sound and the quality and the feel that I get from the harmonicas.
And a lot of today's harmonica players use the Honers. As a matter of fact, have you met Deke Harp yet down in
I
Clarksdale?
love Deke. Yeah, he's awesome. Tell him I said hi.
I will do that, as a matter of fact. And one of the cool things is I've got a brother that plays harmonica, and I want to surprise him and pick up a harmonica from Deke for him. So I ended up ordering two because I thought, well, if he's learning, I might as well learn too. So,
There you go.
But it's kind of cool because this guy does everything handcrafted, and he'll take a stock harmonica and do some amazing things to it, and I guess it's even better than it was. So it's kind of neat, kind of a neat
Oh,
thing.
yeah.
But talk about the support network that you have with your parents, if you would.
I have been so grateful and so fortunate to have the parents that I do. There has not been a single time that they have not supported me in this journey. I'm very grateful. Like, the whole reason we moved was to help support me and my sister's journey in this music. My sister's also a songwriter.
Okay.
But, people ask them all the time, they're like, "Do you do music as well?" And both of my parents are like, "No, this is all God-given." And So it's just been very incredible to know that they have my back through all of this and that they have been willing to put me in places that they know are going to challenge me and make me better, but they also love me and cherish any decision that I make.
Sure. Yeah. Now, having met and worked with you briefly as I did, I can attest to your professionalism and your work ethic. You genuinely carry yourself with a solid measure of respect too, don't you?
Oh yeah. We're all God's people, and so I choose to treat everyone the same, and you know, I kind of like the golden rule. I want to treat everyone how I want to be treated. Just that kind of thing, because I know there are people who are way better than me at this, and there are always going to be people who are better than me at this. And you know, it's just that sense of we're all humans and we should treat everyone nicely.
Well, and I think the other aspect of that is, you know, being able to garner some of that support and maybe some tips here and there from other harmonica players. I mean, there's some wonderful harp players out there. Charlie Musselwhite and Bob Corator,
yeah.
D. Carp, you know, I mean, there's a ton of them. And then you've got Steve Bell over in Chicago. I don't know if you've ever met Steve, but oh, mm-hmm. man, he has a belt with his harmonicas on them.
And, yeah.
If you get a chance to listen to John Primer in the Real Deal Blues Band, check out Steve Bell. He does things with harmonica I've never heard before. And it absolutely blows my mind. But I want to get back to you because I think one of my favorite moments from your set at the Women in Blues Showcase was when you and Nick Coco of Sunny Blue and the Moons went head-to-head jamming on your guitars. Did it kind of catch you off guard that he shared that moment so freely with you, Kiersey?
I don't think it really caught me off guard, but it was such a great experience. I mean, I love sharing, like, I love doing that kind of, like, battle royale with the harmonica and guitar.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's always so fun to see the different kind of styles of other guitarists and how they bring different emotions to their guitar, and they really emphasize it differently, and it makes it like a whole new show and a whole new sound, and it's so invigorating for me. I
sure
love being able to share that moment, and it's honestly just so much fun. Like, I just have the greatest time whenever I am sharing those moments with others.
And I have to tell you, I think Nick walked away realizing that you definitely knew what you were doing up there, because you guys were going at it for about, oh man, it seemed like a solid 5 minutes or more. But you've played at Memphis, you've competed at Memphis too, haven't you?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I've been working on that, so yeah.
Okay, all right. But you've played the Ryman.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about some of the big name musicians that you've shared the stage with, would you please?
Yeah, so one of the coolest parts of my journey so far is I got to play with Jamie Johnson on stage, and he was doing a meet and greet. I went up, I was like, hi, I'm a musician too, I play harmonica, and he was like, oh, that's awesome, and everything, and I was like, do you want to hear it? He was like, so I pulled it out of my pocket, he was like, oh, you just got one in your pocket. I was like, yeah, that's the great thing about harmonica. It just fits so easily and you can take it everywhere.
Yeah.
So I played a little bit for him and he was like, you know what? You're going to be a special guest at my show tonight. So I got to play on stage with him. And most recently, I was very fortunate to play the Ryman opening up for Lauren Daigle. And
wow.
That moment, that night came about through an organization called Notes for Notes. If you don't know about Notes for Notes, please go look them up because they are an incredible nonprofit organization that has helped further my career in so many aspects.
Okay.
They take young kids under the age of 18 and they open up these studios to them, and they allow them to come in and play and learn. And, you know, you can learn instruments, you can learn how to produce, you can learn how to mix and master songs, and you can learn how to record your songs.
Wow.
And you can record your songs as well, and you do it all for free. And that's been one of the biggest inspirations. They have been one of the biggest inspirations to me, because the people there are honestly the nicest people, and they are so welcoming, and they just love to help you grow as an artist or as whatever you want to be. They are there sure. for you to learn and for you to grow.
And it doesn't hurt that you're located close to Nashville either, does it?
No. And they have studios all over Tennessee. I think they have 5 studios in Tennessee.
Wow.
And they're based out of California.
No kidding. Okay. Now, you haven't mentioned somebody, but I happen to notice that on your Facebook page, there's a picture with you with another big name blues artist. Who might that be? And talk about that meeting.
Yeah, so I got to meet Bonnie Raitt. It was honestly the greatest night of my life. So I got to go to her show at the Opry, and I had gotten backstage passes. And honestly, wow. Just sitting in the crowd and watching her perform and hearing her was so life-changing in itself. She has this presence about her, and she just brings the stage to life. And it's really cool because she interacts with her audience in a way that I want to be able to when I'm older and when I get more experience. I want that feel of personality to come, and that just interaction with the people I'm playing for, because I want to make that connection with them. And so it was really amazing getting to go to her show and hear her, for one, because she's incredible. If you're not a fan of Bonnie Raitt, you should be, because she's awesome. But honestly, I got to go meet her backstage, and I got to talk with her, and she's just the nicest and most genuine person on the planet. And
wonderful.
She was just so easy to talk to. And of course, my face was beet red because I was like so happy to be there with her. But she was so nice, and she just encouraged me to keep going and not stop with this dream that I have, and to make it become a reality too.
Very nice. Now, with all of these experiences that you've had already, and you've had quite a few, have you ever found yourself kind of standing in awe, maybe off stage somewhere, as you come to understand who you're performing with? Has that pinch me moment ever happened to you?
I can't say it's happened yet.
Okay.
I know I have had experiences where I have been just in awe of the people I'm on stage with. You know, it's been so incredible to play with the people I have. And
sure.
Even if they're not like the most famous person, they have this gift. And it's incredible that I get to share my gift with them, and I get to experience the moment of just having a good time, having this amazing time just playing and having fun and sharing the gifts that we love and the passion we have for it together.
Sure. Now, I have to ask you, what does the balance of 2025 hold for Kiersey Jolie? Any album projects, any touring? What's going on?
So most recently I have a single that I am releasing. It's actually available for pre-save right now. It became available for pre-save yesterday, and today is today the first? It became available today. I don't know why I thought it was tomorrow already.
That's okay.
But it became available for pre-save today, and it's officially coming out on the 23rd. And actually, the 23rd that night, I'm going to be opening up at Hop Springs in Murfreesboro for the Misty Blues Band.
Nice.
That's going to be incredible in itself. If you haven't heard the Misty Blues Band, they are an amazing band that I got to meet at Memphis when I was being the youth delegate. And it was incredible to get to hear them. And I'm so excited to be opening the stage for them. And I'm actually going to be playing with them on a few of their songs on harmonica as well. So it's going to be really amazing. And that song officially drops that night. And then I'm also working on a little album project right now. I'm in the studio at Notes for Notes, recording as of right now.
Very nice.
The songs that I want to for that album.
Very nice. And don't forget, you made me a promise. When you put that album out, let me know. I'll make sure to buy a copy of it. I'll even buy two copies just so I can help support you. But Kiersey, this is the most important part of our interview. Where can people go to learn more about you and your music? Maybe check out some of your pre-buy here. And if you have any merch, can they get that? And maybe to book you for a gig. Where do they go for all this?
Yeah, so you can follow me on all of my social medias. All of them are at In the Key of Kiersey. And if you don't know how to spell Kiersey, it's K-I-E-R-S-I. I always got to put that out there just to throw it in, make sure people can get it. but yes, please go follow me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, subscribe to me on YouTube even. If you want to book me, you can find all my information on Instagram of where to do that. I've got a couple songs that are already released. I've got some singles. I dropped a holiday EP before Christmas last year, and I don't have any merch right now, so if you feel like supporting me, please go download those songs, because that's the biggest way you can support me as of now.
That is a fact. Well, Kiersey Jolie, it has truly been a pleasure. I want to thank you so much for taking time and joining me today on Time Signatures. Continued success, and I genuinely look forward to seeing you again, girl. You be safe out there and keep doing what you're doing, because you're doing it right.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you so much for having me tonight. I'm very honored to be on Time Signatures with Jim Irvin. it's amazing to be here, and I look forward to seeing you in person again and having these great conversations.
Indeed. Well, as we come to a close on this edition of Time Signatures, I would like to tell you about the Capital Area Blues Society, based right here in the greater Lansing, Michigan area. CABS began its run in the fall of 1994, and they built a strong presence in central Michigan, offering an annual blues brawl where the band and solo duo winners are sent to Memphis to compete in the annual International Blues Challenge on Beale Street in Memphis. Boy, is that a mouthful. But there's also a lot more. We also hold an annual Breaking Bread with the Blues, offering a day of blues music and a chance to raise funds and food donations for the Greater Lansing Food Bank. Oh, and by the way, CABS also presents this program, for which I am eternally grateful. As with all nonprofits, the Capital Area Blues Society is always looking for donations, so please consider a tax-deductible gift to CABS today. Visit capitalareablues.org and make your donation in any amount, and thank you for your consideration. And that wraps up this edition of Time Signatures. Once again, my thanks to our guest, Kiersey Jolie, but also to you, for without you, none of this would be possible. Jim Irvin reminding you that keeping the blues alive is everyone's responsibility, but preserving the history of the blues, one story at a time, is my mission. Until next time, so long, everybody.
This has been Time Signatures with Jim Ervin, presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. For more information on cabs, visit capitalareablues.org. You can find this episode and past episodes at lccconnect.org. The Time Signatures theme song, Michigan Roads, is used by permission and was written by Root Doctor, featuring Freddie Cunningham.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up and down these Michigan roads, yeah.
Until next time, keep on keeping the blues alive.